Welcome to the podcast, What's So Important About My Legacy? This is your host, Ken Edwards.
Hello, and welcome to the audio edition for week two of Building My Footprint for God, the companion guide for small groups or individual study of the book, My Footprint for God. Today, we dive deeper into the importance of our personal story. Yes, your story. It may not be written down, but you are writing new pages to your story each day. Recently, I saw a quote on a writer's website that sums it up. When you tell your story, it reveals your values for others to learn from. Building a legacy which points my family to Christ is the greatest story I'll ever tell. I'm delighted to introduce our guest today. Rob Morgan was our family pastor for many years at Donaldson Fellowship when we lived in Nashville, Tennessee. He is the teaching pastor of Donaldson Fellowship, where he has served for 38 years. He is the best-selling author of more than 35 books in print. He is a collaborative writer for Dr. David Jeremiah in Turning Point magazine. Rob, I'm honored to have you as our guest today. Your background is ideal for this topic because you have spent more than 40 years in church ministry. Pastor Rob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ken. Very happy to be here with you.
So our audience has a better chance to get to know you. Why don't you take a moment and just tell us a little bit about your early days in your walk with God?
Well, I grew up in the mountains of East Tennessee and enjoyed growing up in the more innocent age of the 1950s and early 60s, and in a small town in the mountains. My parents were very committed Christians, so we went to church. I think the first Sunday I was alive, I was in church, and it was a good church. And I don't remember a time when I wasn't trusting Christ as my Savior. I do remember a time when I was 11 or 12 years old, when an evangelist came and spoke at our church, and he told us that we should really make sure that we know that we are saved. And I came home troubled about that. So I remember going in the bathroom and kneeling down by the bathtub and saying something like this: Dear Lord, I think I'm a Christian, but if I'm not, then I want to be one right now. You know, I sort of relate that to the importance of having assurance of your salvation. And sometimes people are genuinely not certain if they have received Christ as Savior or not. And there's nothing wrong. You know, it says in the book of, I think it's 2 Corinthians, to test yourself to see whether you're in the faith. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Dear Lord, I believe that I'm a Christian, but if I'm not, I want to make sure right now that that Christ is in my heart and my sins are forgiven. And then when I was 19 years old and a sophomore in college, I realized that it was past due for me to really yield my life and my future and everything that was about me as fully as I knew how to Christ. And I did that when I was 19. And that was really a more pivotal moment in my life than any other single event. It's as though the Lord switched on a switch of adrenaline that evening in the dormitory that has never been switched off. Decided after that to go into vocational ministry. Married Katrina. We had 43 happy years until she passed away last year. And I'm barreling right on. That's what she would want me to do. But that's the short version of my testimony.
It's always amazing to hear how God uses people. The real testimony of our life begins with knowing Christ. Telling our family and friends that you have decided to follow Jesus is just the first step. So, Pastor Rob, how would you define making Jesus Lord of your life?
The Lord told us we should take up our cross daily and follow Him. And there really does come a point when we realize I don't need to be the one in charge of my life. All I do is make a mess of it. But the Lord has a plan for my life, and I want His plan to be accomplished. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." And if God has a plan for our life in which every single day has been scheduled in advance, then making Christ the Lord of our life is saying, "Dear Lord, I want your schedule to be done. I want to fulfill your plan for my life. I want to do your will." Jesus said when he was 12, "I must be about my Father's business." So when we ask the Lord to be the Lord of our lives, it means that we're asking him to come and take over and to be on the throne of our life. And he is first in every decision, first in every area, first in every category. And that's his rightful place. So it's a decision that we renew every day. It's not like our salvation. Once we're converted, then we don't go back and we're not reconverted over and over and over again. But every morning I like to get up and say, "Dear Lord, I want your will to be done today. You be the Lord of my life today." And it's just a constant daily walk with him in which he is, he's the one in the driver's seat. And it's a wonderful experience.
That sounds like the abundant life, living God to the max.
That was the phrase Jesus used in John 10:10. He said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Another word for it is the spirit-filled life. You know, the book of Ephesians tells us not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. The old teaching of the victorious Christian life is that there are three categories of people. There are the non-Christians, and then there are the carnal Christians who really know Christ, but he isn't in charge of their lives as Lord. And Paul talked to the people in 1 Corinthians about that. He said, "You are still carnal. You need to do something about your Christian life." And then there are the spiritual Christians in which Christ really is the Lord of their life. You know, Ruth Paxson called it life on the highest plane. And that's the kind of life that we want to live.
I totally agree. Living the Spirit-filled life is the sweet spot for the child of God.
Yeah.
Why do you think that some Christians struggle to live the Spirit-filled life?
Well, I mean, there's a thousand reasons for that. Some believers may not realize the privilege and the opportunity to really live with Christ as Lord of their lives every day. It could be they've not grown up with enough Bible teaching to tell them that. It could be that there is just some unwillingness in their heart. They're afraid the Lord may tell them to do something or to go somewhere that they don't want to. And so they hesitate to be fully committed to him. It could be that they haven't, that life is just so busy. Jesus talked about the seed in Matthew 13 that fell among the thorns and it sprang up. But he said, the cares of this life, the distractions, the deceitfulness of riches, all of these things choke the word and it becomes unfruitful.
That's really true. The busyness of life can become a big distraction. And it will rob our spiritual legacy. When this happens, we lose our testimony and our footprint for God.
It's a shame. I think it was Hannah Waddell Smith who said, "Some of you Christians remind me of a man with a headache. You don't want to lose your head, but it hurts you to keep it." And I think that there's a lot of Christians, they don't want to lose their religion, but it hurts them to keep it because it's a hindrance to them because they haven't yet fully yielded themselves to Christ and discovered what Jesus and what you're reminding us is called the abundant life.
Well, that reminds me about the man in the hotel fitness center. As I was walking on the treadmill to get my steps for the day, I watched this young 30-year-old man absolutely drenched in sweat. He was pushing himself as if there was a drill sergeant breathing down his neck. Now, this is a great example of passion. Mm-hmm. And oh, how I pray I'll have that kind of passion for Christ. So how can we develop a deeper passion for God in our life?
Well, we've got to have enthusiasm. And, you know, it takes self-control and discipline like that fellow had. But he wasn't doing that just out of self-control and discipline. He was doing that out of genuine enthusiasm. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And I love that verse. We've got to stay enthusiastic.
I love that verse too. Many of the old timers would describe zeal as the fire of God burning in their bones. Now that's real enthusiasm.
Yes. Enthusiasm actually is a word in theos, in and God. Theos is the Greek word for God. And so enthusiasm is God in us-ism. And I think, again, it talks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit and you're yielded to Christ, then there is an enthusiasm there, and you don't want to lose that zeal or that passion. We've got to keep stoking it and feeding it.
That is really important if we expect our children and grandchildren to follow in our footsteps. They are looking at us for genuine faith. A deep relationship with Christ will affect our legacy.
That's true. You're not going to leave much of a legacy if you don't have some level of exuberance to your Christian faith. So we have to decide, I'm going to go into this day with enthusiasm. I'm going to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and just plunge into this day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And we just go at it with enthusiasm. That's the only way really that I want to live.
You know, Pastor Rob, several times you have mentioned about living a Spirit-filled life. How do I find that kind of relationship with God?
I think it takes time every day in Scripture and in prayer. That's the generating plant for the energy. Your little prayer closet, wherever it is, where you sit down, it could be in the backyard, it could be on the patio, it could be at your kitchen table, it could be at your bedside chair. But that place where you study God's word every day and you pray and talk to him, that to me is the generating plant that produces the energy to go about a zealous, enthusiastic life.
Over the years, I've heard you talk about memorizing and meditating on God's word.
It really helps if you'll memorize some verses. If people, you can meditate without memorizing. I mean, I've got my Bible right here, and it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And I can sit here and study those words and meditate on them. But when you know a verse, then you can take it with you. If you're swimming laps in the pool, if you're riding the bicycle through the park, if you're driving down the road, if you're on an airplane and you're tired and you close your eyes and you let that scripture circulate through your mind like oil through an engine, then it's a very powerful mental and emotional force. There's nothing like the Bible. It's a unique book. It's not simply a human book. It's not simply a divine book. It is God filling every word of it with his own thoughts, working through men and women who are born along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. And there is an electricity to the Bible. This is a nuclear book. It's an atomic book. So as you read it every day and you memorize it and it gets in your mind and you meditate on it and you trust it and you obey it, then it's a life-changing book. It's like just pouring more and more wood on a fire. It just keeps the blaze going.
Having that blaze and passion for God will build our spiritual legacy and affect our family for many years to come.
Yes, and if they're not going along the way that we want, we just pray for them and keep living a Christian life in front of them. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, so we shouldn't give up.
Any final thoughts?
No, I'll just reiterate that wonderful verse. I love it. Romans 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord.
Well, thank you for being our guest today. This conversation brings back many memories from our time at Donaldson Fellowship. Thank you for sharing with us today. Your passion for the Lord helps us as we endeavor to follow Christ and build our spiritual legacy. For those involved in a small group study, please give your attention to your group facilitator to continue this discussion on building my footprint for God. Thanks for joining us today. Please tell your friends and church family about us. Also, hit the subscribe button or head over to footprintforgod.com to discover more. Until next time, this is your host, Ken Edwards, reminding us to build our footprint for God today so our family will follow the Lord tomorrow.